And I tell you, I think my favorite part of these times is singing. I love good preaching. And in our church, we have great preaching in a church where I go to church. But it's hard for me to not enjoy the singing more. I just love to worship and sing to the Lord. And I love it when my wife leads us to sing. And I love it that that bird over there is singing with us too. And that's fun. God just makes his creatures all worship him. And so we just believe they all give praise and glory to God. So just by the fact that they were created by him, they give glory to him. You know, it's pretty awesome what those birds can do. I want to just share a few thoughts with you. This will be pretty brief today, but I want to share just a few thoughts with you from Luke chapter 4, from Isaiah chapter 61. In Luke chapter 4, we find Jesus beginning his earthly ministry. He's just been baptized by John. You remember he went down to the Jordan River and was baptized by John the Baptist. And then he went into the wilderness after that and was tempted by the devil. You remember that. And of course, the devil didn't have anything on him. He never, ever yielded. And Satan left him for a while. But of course, he was always, always trying to get Jesus to fall. Never succeeded. Jesus never, ever sinned, of course. And now he's begun to preach. And so he's been going around Galilee, going to the synagogues and preaching. And soon he reaches Nazareth. Now, you remember Nazareth. That's where Jesus was raised as a boy. He was brought up in Nazareth. So he comes to Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue, and he says, he does something we're going to read about right now. I'm going to ask the Lord to help us make sure we understand it. So, Father, would you please help us as we read your word to understand the awesomeness of this passage of Scripture. We know, Lord, that you are the author of your word, and that it's perfect and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So would you please come and speak through your living word to our hearts. Help us to hear you and to understand what you're saying to us. And as we just sang, because of this, to draw nearer than ever to you, to draw close to you through your word, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So Luke chapter 4, verse 16 says that Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as was his custom, in other words, this is the way he normally did it, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. What do you think he's going to read? Well, he's going to read the Bible that they used in that day, which was the Old Testament, our Old Testament. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, the one of the books of the Bible, was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll. Of course, they didn't have books like we do now. They had to unroll that scroll, and he found the place where it is written, and now he's beginning to read from Isaiah chapter 61, and here's what Jesus reads to those people in that synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he stopped quoting Isaiah, reading from Isaiah right there, and he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Everybody's looking at Jesus now. And he began to say to them, and these are awesome words, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And that was awesome. Isaiah was prophesying about the coming Messiah, and Jesus is basically saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that Isaiah is prophesying about. I'm fulfilling what Isaiah said. Now, he stopped reading from Isaiah right there where I said he stopped. But I want us to look back at Isaiah chapter 61 and read it from the Old Testament as well. Very, very similar, of course, because this is what Jesus was quoting or reading. But in Isaiah, now I'm reading from the Old Testament. Instead of Luke chapter 4, I'm back in Isaiah chapter 61. This is what Isaiah wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspired by Jesus. You know, Jesus was the author of the Old Testament, just like the New. And he wrote, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me. Do you know who they anointed in the Old Testament? Who was commonly anointed? They anointed kings, and sometimes they anointed priests, and they anointed prophets. And what they did, of course, is they poured oil on their heads. It was an act of anointing physically with oil, olive oil, and it symbolized the coming of the Holy Spirit of God on that person to empower them to do what God had called them to do, whether it's to be a prophet or a priest or a king. Well, it turns out that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of all those anointings. In fact, the word Christ in the Greek means the anointed one. The word Messiah in the Hebrew means the anointed one. He's the ultimate anointed one. He is the ultimate prophet, the ultimate priest, and the ultimate king. So here it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. So Jesus came full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus in fullness, in complete fullness. You know, we can be full of the Holy Spirit too. The problem is we quench the Spirit and we grieve the Spirit because we sin. Jesus didn't sin. So everything he did in the full power of the Holy Spirit, including fulfilling this prophecy. So in the full power of the Holy Spirit, here's what he came to do. And this is what Isaiah says now back in Isaiah 61, to bring good news to the poor. To bring good news to the poor. Sin, I say this quite often, we live in a Genesis 3 world. We live in a world where sin has affected the whole world, everybody in it, and the world itself, and even the whole universe, the Bible teaches. But sin has brought poverty into the world. To a certain extent, all of us are impoverished. I don't care how much money you got, we are spiritually impoverished for sure until we know Jesus. But we have physical impoverishment as well, you know. But Jesus said, I've come to bring good news. The truth is, he ends our spiritual poverty right now. As soon as we trust him, we're no longer spiritually impoverished. And one of these days, when he comes back and sets up his kingdom, all the physical poverty is going to be gone too. Wouldn't that be great? Isn't that going to be wonderful? He's going to do it. He's bringing good news to the poor. He also says, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's something else sin does. It breaks hearts. Has your heart ever been broken? Of course it has. You've got friends and loved ones and family members and others who've broken your heart. Sin breaks our hearts. And Jesus said, I've come to heal that. He will heal our broken hearts. And then he says, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Sin makes slaves out of people. It's like we're imprisoned. We're bound by sin, and Jesus sets us free from that. When we confess our sins to him, he cleanses us and he forgives us, and he breaks the bond of that sin and sets us free. So we're not slaves of sin anymore. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's where Jesus stopped quoting, right there. When Jesus read that, he laid down the scroll. He put it away. Because the next phrase was not fulfilled. You remember Jesus went on to tell them, this has been fulfilled today. That part had. There's another part, though, to this prophecy, and it's not fulfilled yet. It will be when Jesus comes back again. He's coming back as a judge. When he comes back, he's going to fulfill the rest of this. The day of vengeance of our God. You see, sin requires justice. And God is the perfect judge. Jesus is going to deal with that when he comes back. But I want us to read on a little bit further. To comfort all who mourn. To grant to those who mourn in Zion. And he's talking about people who are grieving now, mourning. To give them beauty. You hear that? To give them beauty instead of ashes. To give them the oil of gladness instead of mourning. To give them the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. That they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He's going to do all of this to get himself glory. Now I just want to focus for a couple more minutes, and we're almost finished here, on verse 3. He speaks of an exchange. Did you hear that? Instead of ashes, I'm going to give you beauty. I'm going to exchange beauty for your ashes. And I'm going to exchange an oil of gladness for your mourning. And I'm going to exchange a garment of praise for your spirit of heaviness. I'm going to exchange some things. So you're going to put away those ashes and that mourning and that spirit of heaviness. You see, God's people then in Isaiah's day and now were mourning. They were grieving. There was heaviness there. There were ashes all around. Things were not going well for them. Life was painful. But through Isaiah, God's saying, listen, someday I'm going to come to you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to fulfill this prophecy, and I'm going to bring beauty out of all of this, and I'm going to bring gladness out of all this mourning, and I'm going to bring praise out of all this spirit of heaviness. And I think what God wants us to do is take encouragement from this, that whatever the pain is right now, whatever the frustrations are right now, whatever the trials are right now, we're hearing God say, I want you to realize I'm using all of this to create something beautiful. And you're going to have to trust me, God says. Trust me in this. I'm using all the pain, all the sorrow, all the heaviness, and I'm going to bring something beautiful out of it if you'll focus on me and trust me to do it. Most of us probably in here have lived long enough to realize that, yeah, there's some principles of submission that God teaches us through trials. And so when we're going through the tough time, instead of getting angry at God, instead of fighting against him, instead of questioning him, we just learn to say, Lord, you know best. You know what's best for me, and you're going to bring beauty out of all of this eventually. You're going to bring good out of this eventually. I'm just going to trust you until we get there. There was a famous French painter. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not. His name was Pierre-Auguste Renoir. You ever heard of Renoir? He painted a lot of really famous impressionist paintings. He died nearly 100 years ago. And as he got older, he was totally crippled by rheumatoid arthritis. And rheumatoid arthritis, some of you know, is very, very awful. And he was confined to a wheelchair, and his hands were twisted. You know how your hands get gnarled and twisted with rheumatoid arthritis. His were too, but he was a painter, and they were deformed. But even though he was in a lot of pain, he continued to paint. He could just barely hold that brush in his fingertips, and every stroke he took was excruciatingly painful. It was very agonizing for him to try to paint. And one of his friends, who loved him a great deal, one time said to him, Pierre, why do you do that? Why do you keep trying to paint like that when it hurts so much? It's obviously causing you torture to have to, every little brush mark you make. Why do you do it? And Renoir answered him this way. He said, listen, this is good. The pain passes, but the beauty remains. The pain passes, but the beauty remains. Once the painting was done, there was a beautiful painting there that lasted and lasted and lasted, and the pain would pass. He knew that. And so when we're going through times of pain, that's a good thing for us to remember. The pain passes. God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, is working something beautiful through this pain, something that's going to remain for eternity. It's not going to end. The beauty won't end. The pain will, but not the beauty. So just remember that. The pain passes. The beauty remains. I'm not saying the pain's not real. It's very real, very awful, but it eventually will pass away. But the beauty, which is even more real and even more awesome, it's going to remain forever. The pain passes, the beauty remains. Father, help us to remember this. Thank you so much for these passages of Scripture in Luke 4 and Isaiah 61. And help us to learn that you sent Jesus in the midst of all the sorrow, all the pain, all the heaviness, all the ashes, all the mourning, in order to bring joy out of these things, in order to bring gladness, in order to bring praise, in order to bring beauty. And so, Father, help us to remember that because of Jesus, we can experience beauty in the midst of pain and experience the ultimate reality that pain is going to pass away, and one of these days we're going to be with you, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grieving, and we're going to rejoice with you forever. And we're going to be in that beauty forever. And Lord, thank you that you're using all of this trial right now, all of this difficulty, to make us more beautiful in your eyes for your glory. And we want you to have all the glory. So thank you for this. And we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.